What's the agenda this week? A lot going on. The South Carolina primary, of course, setting the tone for politics in Washington and around the nation. And also the State of the Union address coming up from the President of the United States himself. Joining us, Louise Story, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Hello, Louise.
Good morning.
And Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, John.
So, Louise, let's begin with this BlackBerry news this morning. There's been some upheavals in telecom and, sort of the cell phone industry. Do you think this Research in Motion departure of the two CEOs is significant in any sense, and will it affect the NASDAQ over the course of the next several days?
Well, it's absolutely significant, but what it is about is the broader shift in phone technology and consumer trends. You know, everyone wants something more like an iPhone now. You know, Google has its own version, and basically BlackBerry has not kept up in this trend and this kind of innovation in cell phones.
So it's a smaller version of the story we were talking about last week when Kodak declared bankruptcy. Louise Story, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Todd Zwillick, is it Newt Gingrich in Florida this week, or is it President Obama giving the State of the Union address?
Oh, it's the collision of both. John, BlackBerries are not allowed in the House chamber, in the press gallery any day except the night of the State of the Union. That's the night reporters are allowed to bring BlackBerries and even some computers onto the House floor. That's how much things have shifted in the importance of handheld phones in the House chamber. And Tuesday night, of course, the president in prime time. You say, which of these things is more important? These two things go head to head because these are both political prime time events. The most important thing about the president's speech this year, prime time, 9 p.m. And let's face it, the presidential State of the Union address is one of the few political events that most Americans really pay attention to. And the White House has not laid out any specific agenda items that the president's going to talk about in terms of getting things passed. But that's not really what this speech is about. You hit it on the head. This speech is about the election. The president is the White House hasn't telecast this speech. The campaign has.
Well, let's take a pause for a second. I mean, while the Republicans argue over tax returns for people who make well over $200,000 a year, Newt Gingrich, who's a very wealthy fellow in his own right and is critiquing capitalism in his attacks on Mitt Romney. It sounds like the president wants to get away from all that and may just have an opportunity here. Here he is speaking in a campaign video.
This is a make or break moment for the middle class and folks trying to work their way into the middle class, because we can go in two directions. One is towards less opportunity and less fairness, or we can fight for where I think we need to go, building an economy that works for everyone, not just a wealthy few.
Four sentences in that soundbite, two mentions of middle class.
Indeed. And Democrats on Capitol Hill quietly have resurrected the idea of the millionaire's tax. It won't pass, but they think it's a brilliant wedge issue. Will the president mention that specifically? How do you know this is a campaign speech? Because it goes right up in the middle of the Florida Republican primary, where Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney are neck and neck. And then the president, the very next morning, John, leaves on a five-state swing to Iowa,
right,
Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, and Michigan,
now,
all swing states.
All swing states? Colorado, for sure, is a huge swing state. But Iowa?
Barack Obama won Iowa in the last election. Can he win it this time? It's going to be really, really tough. He won all of them except Arizona. Now, he'll win Phoenix and the Phoenix metro area, but Arizona statewide, he did not win. It's the only state out of those five that the president didn't win. And remember how important that Intermountain West is to Democrats. That's why they had the convention there 4 years ago, right in Denver.
And Michigan is, of course, huge, a very divided state. Detroit area is one thing, but the rest of the state, quite something else. Hold on for just a second, Todd Zwillick. On Tuesday, Mitt Romney says he's going to do something that up till now he's been pretty ambivalent about.
Given all the attention that's been focused on tax returns, given the distraction that I think they became in these last couple of weeks, look, I'm going to make it very clear to you right now, Chris. I will release my tax returns for 2010. Which is the last returns that were completed. I'll do that on Tuesday of this week. I'll also release at the same time an estimate for 2011 tax return.
Now, Louise Story, he doesn't sound terribly thrilled with that, and maybe I'm reading way too much into the tone of his voice, but what do we learn about people from their tax returns? Does it settle anything, or does it raise more questions?
Well, you learn a couple things. One, you learn how much money they have made and where they've made it from, and then you also learn what level of taxes they've paid over time. And it's a really important question to a lot of people right now because there's a lot of discussion of tax reform and, you know, possibly a millionaire's tax. And, you know, he, Mitt Romney, is from the private equity industry. His whole candidacy has kind of brought this industry back in the spotlight and caused people to really criticize what private equities do and the debate of whether they are vultures or whether they are company saviors is really out there. And so when Romney's tax returns come out, what people will be asking is, does he deserve all this money he made? Did he add economic value to the world through his career? And it's relevant to whether he can be, you know, a business leader of a sort as a president.
And certainly the New York Times exit polls suggest that some of the criticisms of Romney as being out of touch or in some sort of economic bubble really sort of stuck in the South Carolina primary.
Well, you know, again, we're in a very bad economy. We're going to get a lot of economic data this week. That's one thing to watch. We'll see how much the economy grew, the GDP figure for the end of last year. And so particularly in a bad economy when people are still losing their homes, they're really interested in knowing the financial profile of someone who might lead them forward.
And finally, Ben Bernanke, is he going to bail out the Obama administration with the good economic news later this week?
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what the Federal Reserve does with interest rates. The thing that will be more interesting, perhaps, is Bernanke is trying a new approach with the Fed. You know, normally they speak in Fed speak, which no one can understand really, and they don't tell the public much about what they're planning for the future. But he is going to start a new approach this week where he's going to put out all kinds of memos and language
Fed
on
transparency. That's the new theme. Exactly.
So we'll see,
and we'll hear about
it
on Wednesday. Louise Story, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. First agenda in this year with the dragon tattoo. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.